Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many gifts and blessings as we think and ponder all of the wonderful parts of life that we enjoy. Thank you for placing us right here, right now, in world history. Please guide and direct each of us as we endeavor to do your good will. And along the way, please protect and preserve us and ours. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a part to fulfill in your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture talks about how God wants us to be thankful. Sometime we have to adjust our attitude to be thankful. Oh, like for me, sometimes I would wish that I had better vision or better coordination. And I think to myself, why can't it get better? Oh, like it was a few decades ago. And then I think of people who I know, a man with a glass eye, and how he needs glasses to barely see normal. Or I think about a man I know with his leg replaced. And then I remember to be thankful for what I do have. I want to keep my attitude thankful. And I know that things are not perfect, and we all have the same situations to overcome, just a human life. And that is a fine thing to think about, how to get better and how to improve. But let us always let our thoughts return to the place of appreciation and thankfulness to God. In our neighborhood and all over the world, there are many problems. There is much hurt. And it is okay to think about how to make things better. But still, let us appreciate and be thankful for all the good things that we have. That just seems to make life go so much smoother when we have thanks and appreciation. And we still can look at reality. We still can look at what needs attention. It might be the kids or the bills or the grocery shopping or something else to repair. There's a lot of things that go on, and let us keep our thankful attitude. Problems in the world? Yes, of course. And this coronavirus, COVID-19 virus, is going around in our society. And it is affecting our economy and what each one of us is doing personally. I know that one complaint I hear from people fairly often is, why can't we go back to church? Why can't we have normal church again? Why can't we sing in churches anymore? And I just heard a North Carolina pastor say, come on, pastors, open up your churches again. And I thought, yeah, I do hope we do, but look at all the many, many people there are who are just plain scared. And they want to stay isolated, stay in their homes. They are just plain scared. So many people are afraid. They're afraid to go out. They're afraid that they might catch coronavirus. And many are afraid that they might die. I know it's not easy to keep the wonderful and beautiful thought of heaven in our mind. And I do realize that death is an unknown factor. We've not experienced it before. But we are assured of how great it is to be in heaven in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you look, if you listen, you will see and hear that there are a few people who have had an experience. Oh, it might be called an out-of-body experience. But they've had something where they have understood the absolute beauty of heaven. And if you look around, you will see a few people also who have had quite the opposite experience, that is, of hell. And yes, you know that people want to choose heaven and choose Jesus. And then what do? We choose like we mean that choice of choosing Jesus. Well, about churches opening again, I would say that yes, pastors, please do hold church again. And live fearlessly. But I do know that it's a human thing to be concerned and even sometimes fearful. But God tells us, fear not. Over and over he tells us, fear not. If we were to really let fear take hold of us, we would not do anything again. Nothing. And is that you? Are you staying isolated because you live in fear? I hope not, because life always has an element of risk in it. Even in our just plain normal day-to-day activities, there is risk. And I think the big thing is to look at how you can live your life to make a difference for the kingdom of God, for Jesus Christ, as you spread the good news of the gospel. Look for opportunities, and you will find them. And I know often enough it's not easy to live one way or the other, but we do want to make choice, have choices and make them. And yes, there are earthly challenges and earthly threats, and that can distract us from spreading the good news of the gospel message. It's just one of those challenges in life. And we'll still do it, but it helps to be aware of things and have a thought, have a direction of things. We do have concerns in life. I just days ago spoke to my sister-in-law. She went to Atlanta, Georgia. And, you know, some will say that that was a stupid thing to have done, but we are in a free country and we do have choices. And she chose to visit in Atlanta, Georgia. And, well, she came right up to a state park. was it a federal park? Anyway, she was at the park and the traffic was all at a standstill. And right there, in the middle of the road, there were men in black, all armed with army-style rifles. And they slowly walked down the middle of the road. They looked into each and every car, and into her car also. They looked and they looked. And yes, she was scared. They were all dressed in black and wearing military police type of gear. And yeah, they looked scary like that. There were about 20 men walking down the street in broad daylight with rifles, army rifles. Well, that was the story I heard. And then some days later, she sent me a YouTube video and said that this is what it was like, because she found an example of that experience. On that video, I saw about 16 men walking in a loose line down the middle of the street, with their army rifles displayed right in front of them, and the traffic was all stopped. It showed one man who was in the driver's seat of a stopped car, and he kept asking, "Who were they?" And they would not give anything like a clear answer. They did talk, but those men with rifles, some of them just kept walking down the middle of the street very slowly, looking into each car. And you could not tell really anything about those men. They were, like I said, dressed in that military police-looking clothing, carrying those military rifles. And you couldn't tell anything about those men because they were covered from head to toe in, well, clothes like hoods and jackets and gloves, and you just couldn't see any of their body. So you didn't know anything about them. Now, there was some audio of that encounter, and the guys with the rifles, they spoke in street language. They sure didn't sound like any officials. And I just kept thinking, where are our police? I wondered, do we really want to defund our police and have men with rifles walking around? Now, for my sister-in-law, she said there was 20 men, and I counted 16 men in the video. Well, I thought about it. I saw that YouTube video, and at first, what I saw, I wondered if it was a hoax video. But because of that experience with my sister-in-law, it was so very similar, and she definitely was scared. So I took the video seriously. I looked at it closely. Well, no doubt you have heard that our nation is in a position of danger, and we are in danger of having a second civil war. Now, I've heard that, and I've kind of dismissed it. Well, I knew it was kind of true. I did know it. But when you have experience of armed people or gunshots or violence or anything like that where you live, you definitely think about it a little more. And so, what do? You and me, who live a normal and peaceful life, well, we should try to preserve that good life that we live. But always do remember to use wisdom in your every decision that you make all throughout the day. And as you look around you, use wisdom. I just had a memory of just over 20 years ago of Dianne Feinstein, the California senator. She was on 60 Minutes, and she was saying, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn in your guns. Turn them all in. Well, that's what she said. Well, it was maybe not a quote, but it was really close to that. And so I think about what is going on in our society now. We have a lot of people thinking about guns. And now me, I've been talking on this Christ Today broadcast for about 4 years now, and guns have never been a subject. But now, just 2 weeks ago, I talked about them a little bit. 4 weeks ago, I talked about it also. And now today, a little bit, I'm talking about guns. That's just hardly a subject, but it's present in our society, so it's okay to talk about guns and how they are in demand. And I hear there's not many available in the gun stores these days. People are buying a lot of them, of every sort of gun. And these days, there are some people who strongly recommend having a gun. So, yeah, okay, we are in a free country. And so if that is your choice, well, then yes, go ahead. But please be safe with things. Safety ought to be your number one concern, really. I think a little bit different about what the important issues are. I think it's really important to have food on hand and a passive water filter. I think of Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21. And they all talk about the end of the age. What is coming? There will be famine and earthquakes and war. But famine, now that's one we can clearly do something about. We can get food and a good water filter. Every one of us can do that. And right now in the world, there are several continents where there are swarms of locusts eating the crops. The United Nations, anyway, one of their branches, predicts that 2 million people will starve to death because of, well, the combination of the problem with COVID-19 and the locust swarms. Well, I think of those locust swarms, and I think of what we are commanded to do, which is to love our neighbors. I think about the people who live on the same block. They are my neighbors. And so are the starving people on other continents. After all, they are just a plane ride away. So, yeah, we could get into some real serious food shortages. It's possible. We could get into water that is not clean and pure to drink. So, I hope you have plenty of food in your storehouse so that you can share with starving, hungry, well, children in your neighborhood. I mean, just think. If there were starving children, you would certainly want to feed them or at least help them a little bit. Maybe not to have a food outreach, but you could always leave food around for them to find if there was a really dire situation where people were starving hungry. There are answers. There are things that you can do. You don't have to have a homeless shelter that gives out food, but I'm sure if the situation arises, there is something you can do. And when people are hungry, they are fine with a bowl of white rice with salt on it. When you are really hungry, so many things just taste good. even boiled wheat and beans and lentils. They all taste great with a little salt when you're hungry. So just think about having some of those basic foods around that you can share with people. Because hunger and starvation are happening around the world, and they have always happened around the world one way or another. And now with this coronavirus, COVID-19, many farms and food-producing facilities are being shut down right here in the United States. Oh, and around the world. But here in the United States, many farms have been forced to dump perfectly good food by the truckload. Truckloads of good food and even milk are being dumped because the supply system is not working. So this alone does not mean that famine is coming to the United States of America. But if we, the people of the United States, remove God from this land, when God leaves this land, I can only guess what supernatural blessings will also leave this land. Well, people of God know that God is the same today and yesterday, he is this, and tomorrow. God is the source of all our blessings. Ah, but people who do not know God, they do not know that God is the source of all blessing. So, seriously think about how you can illustrate to people that there is a God. Show them that there is a God of love. A God who loves them. We all will find a little different way of doing that, but keep it in your mind. And as you read the Bible, remember to read the whole Bible. A part of the Bible is to read the ifs, the if in the Bible. That I think of 2 Chronicles 7:14, about healing the land. And here it reads, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. See? If God's people will do this, then God will do that. It's an if in the Bible. So remember how God wants us to have holiness and love and live that. And if not, God seems to allow us to have problems just to get our attention so that we seek God, to seek the face of God. These days, our society is operating a whole lot on their feelings. They have feelings about what they want, that's what people have, and in general, people are not following the holiness of God. And that leads to consequences. And that leads people away from God of the Bible. And I cannot help wondering if the things that afflict us today are a part of God removing his hand which blesses us. And that might be with the coronavirus. It might have something to do with that too, because we people are too much seeking the little gods of our life, little g gods, you know, like a god of philosophy, a god of religion, or a god of science, a god as a or a political leader. And the big one is the god of our own self. And I do wonder about how we are getting our attention drawn away from the holy God of the Bible, of the natural world, and we are turning to something else to guide and direct our lives. And that makes me wonder, where is our country headed towards? Where is our world headed towards? You know, we do have a government that tells us what to do. And we are to follow that. That's pretty clear in the Bible. Follow the dictates of the government, because they are a force that is in charge, yeah. But we don't want anything, not government or anything else, to lead us away from God. Not one way or another. And I think of face masks. I mean, that's just me. I think of them as taking away from our human form, and so taking away from our humanity, because it hides our unique face. It hides our expression. And so I just wonder, are face masks a problem? Yeah, I think they might be. Because it is not leading a person towards God, it is leading a person towards anonymity, anonymousness. That's what covering your face does. And I don't know that face masks are really bad in the short term, but if they were to be a long-term requirement, I think it is a problem. And you know that we have not had a scientific look at face masks. There are the authority people who say, wear a face mask. But when you look at the studies show that those N95 face masks do not hardly at all, stop the transmission of germs or viruses. You just look it up. There have been studies that have been done for 10 years. There have been half a dozen studies, and they show that face masks do not help. They were using the N95 face mask as an example. And so the little kerchiefs that we put over our face, or the homemade face masks, they have even less help for us or for people. Oh, they do if you have a cough. They do if you are expressing spittle. But no, mostly face masks don't do any good. And that was done, each of those tests was done by among hospital workers. So, one of the things that face masks do is they, as I said, they hide our individual identity and character. You know, it's as though we don't even have a soul if we don't show who we are. I know that's a little exaggeration, but they do hide who we are. They hide our face, which gives us a certain value. It gives us a demonstration of who we are to be seen by other people. So, really look at that subject really closely. And of course, if you're not going to look and only be told what to do, then you are that automaton person, that robot, who doesn't think, who only does what they are commanded. So, I ask you to look into these things. There's a lot to look into that is not only questionable, but has bad information. It's wrong. But you have to look. Look around. I remember there was half a day I looked into that face mask question, and I looked at half a day of YouTubes by doctors, YouTube videos, and they were interviewed. Some of them were done in foreign languages and had to be translated. And, well, just look into the matter, please. And there's a great deal of difference among the opinions of doctors, health professionals, people who should know, people in charge of hospitals that make decisions. It is not a clear answer. So even though today people do have strong opinions on whether to wear a mask or not, please, you look at those double-blind studies on the effectiveness of face masks. You look for yourself. One of the things that is happening, though, that face masks are showing is who will be obedient. See, if you look in a crowd, it's really easy to see who will not be obedient. It's the people without a face mask who are disregarding the statutes of law. So obviously, these people are dissenters. Sometimes we are a dissenter just by talking about all the things and questioning them. But you have to figure that out. Where do you stand? What are you going to do? It's a question of your deciding this for yourself. And there have been people who have been arrested, literally arrested, for not wearing a face mask. Well, you just look into it, please. And I remember there was a time not too long ago when it was illegal for a person to wear a mask in public, a mask which hid your identity. And I know that there was the idea of the KKK, Ku Klux Klan people, wearing masks and hiding their identity. They weren't talking about a medical mask, but it's interesting direction, and you will get to think about that. I mean, I think back to those masked men who were completely covered. They were armed, and the ones my sister-in-law encountered who completely had their identities hidden. You just have to wonder about it. You just have to ask yourself about the value of anonymity. Oh, and nobody can be anonymous, not really. There are so many methods that if the authorities really want to know who a person is, they will absolutely find you. There is no more anonymity. You cannot stay anonymous anymore. There is a vast network of cameras everywhere. You are being watched. And even on the mobile vehicles, like tow trucks or other vehicles that go around the city, or on various locations, there are cameras all over that read at least your license plate. And some of them photograph the occupants of the vehicles or the people walking by. That's just the way it is throughout the society. And these can be facial recognition cameras, but even that is changing. It's not the same anymore. They have new methods of discovering who you are. Oh, like the government of China. For at least 2 years now, maybe it's been three, where they have had cameras in many parts of China that could identify a Chinese citizen by how they walked. So they would have an overhead camera or a drone, and they would identify people by their walk. So, yeah, if China has had them for a couple of years, 2 or 3 years, I think it's pretty safe to say that other countries have them too. And sure, why not the United States? We have so much technology here. So maybe we shouldn't be concerned about wearing a mask to hide our identity or not. We will be identified if those certain people want to find out who you are. Think about it. So, we cannot be anonymous. And if you are a dissenter, like if you don't wear a mask, oh yes, you're going to stand out in a crowd. And anybody who speaks up is going to be identified. Like me, I talk on the radio. And you know I'm identified because I talk publicly. And when you think about your smartphone that records your every conversation and sends it to a database, you know that you are identified also. I don't see too many people who are willing to give their smartphones up just to stay anonymous. I sure don't. No. It is hard for people to leave their smartphones for even an hour. Well, all things that you get to decide how your interaction is going to be with this or with that. I remember in 1997, there was a man who was in charge of computer programs at the FBI. Those programs were designed to track, to locate, and identify anybody who the FBI wanted to find and capture. And he fully knew how to find people and identify their patterns to see what they would do and where they would be so that they could be found and arrested. So that man, over the course of many months, came to understand things within the FBI. He was in a high position, and he knew that the FBI was holding something like 10, I think it was a little over $10 million, and it was in an account that was not going to be looked into for 8 or 10 months. It was not going to be looked at or watched. And using his position, he decided to steal that money. He transferred that money into his own personal account. And after he stole it, he resigned from the FBI and he went on the run with all that money. And you know what? The FBI took great offense at what he did. So they put their two best cyber trackers onto him. And they tried to track him down. But he had knowledge of the FBI tracking practices. And he did everything in a random way. So random. But they were trying to find him. And after 5 years, that is within 5 years, that team of FBI trackers, they finally identified his pattern of randomness. He was finally located and tracked down, and they finally got their man. They arrested him. Because even if we think we don't have a pattern, that our pattern of randomness is still a pattern. So that's a word of warning that we all have to be aware of. Our minds and what we do and what we think we're going to do. So I tell that story to just remind every one of us that we are all trackable, even if we are trying to do random random things. So, the moral is, do what is right according to God and do not steal or cheat. Now, if the FBI and if the police don't catch you, then in the afterlife you will be caught by the devil. Oh, I was just trying to be kind of cute. That is true, but, well, the idea here is don't steal or cheat, because if you stay in sin and do not repent, God is going to judge you, and you can be pretty sure that you will find an eternity in hell waiting for you, and that's what you do not want. Nobody wants that. We want to believe Jesus, to repent, and to have a transformed life where we spend our eternal life in heaven. So there are if you have questions, there are answers in the Bible. Have your eternity in heaven and not in hell. That's an easy choice, and you want to spend eternity in heaven, don't you? Yes. So, live your choice. That FBI guy who stole the money went on the run, and that reminds me, we can take what we want, but there will always be consequences, either in this life or the next. So read that Bible, look into it, be born again, and find the answers to your questions in the Bible. You know, the New Testament is not very long. It doesn't take much to read. It's something like 200 pages or a little more. And you know that you are capable of reading 200 pages. So if it's going to make a difference in your life and in your eternal life, it is well worth reading those 200 pages. If you want to read some more, read the Old Testament as well. That's 600 or 700 pages. And that depends on what the print size is of your Bible. It can be a little more or a little less, but the point is, it's definitely something you can read. It is readable. You can read about all the stories in the Bible, examples for you to live by. You know, the movies that we watch often use biblical examples. They use a story that comes right out of the Bible, and then they alter it a little bit here and a little bit there, or they make it current. And the trouble is, most of us don't know the Bible well enough to recognize that the movies are following a biblical story. So, that's just another encouragement to read the Bible. It is full of all sorts of things. It's full of parallels to our real life. With love, with hate, with people making terrible choices, or even cannibalism, or greed, or murder, unfaithfulness. All those things. It's full of fights and hunger and death. But there's also wonderful things in that book. It is full of, well, the love of God. There's nothing more wonderful than that. It's full of the love of people. People living an example of love one for the other. But the love of God, now that is one where we can just be thankful to read about and know about and be sure that that love is intended for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for loving us. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Three persons in one God. Amazing. We can understand parts of it, but really I think it's a mystery that we will really never know the entire understanding about. So, yeah, read those Bible stories. They're pretty good. So, look at the patterns that you see and try to understand how you want your life to be. you will get ideas as you read and see that the examples in the Bible really do apply to your life right here, right now. It's life. Life in the United States or some other part of the world. Yes, and we see plenty of decisions that are being made that are improper, just plain wrong. They can be personal decisions, group decisions, political decisions. Lots of things are wrong, and if we have the examples to look at and understand in the Bible, we can apply them to our life and what is right in front of us, and things become pretty clear when we have an overview of what the Bible tells us. We can know that if we have sin, we want to turn from that sin, completely turn away from sin, and repent. Repent is turning away. And then we want to have a born-again spirit in the Spirit of God. Well, knowing the Bible gives us an idea of what kind of things are going to happen in the world. It becomes pretty obvious when we realize that reading the true stories in the Bible pretty much indicate what's going to happen in our future. That's what the patterns show us. And one of the things that we also see is God is merciful, and oh, we thank God for His mercy. I think of how God has shown mercy to me, of course. He has allowed me to have the time, roughly half of my life, to seek Him and then to repent and then to choose to belong to God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. That is the God of the Bible. And thank you, Jesus, for taking my place on the cross. That's the God of the Bible. Well, we have a lot going on in this world that we get to try to figure out. So much. And right now, we have this virus going on, and we look for examples of how to deal with it. We look for knowledge. And yes, there is some of that in the Bible. But if we look to the people, scientists, qualified people, doctors, there are plenty of people who have an opinion, and the opinions are different. Now, for every opinion that there is, we ought to check it out to make sure that it is true and correct, and have a double-blind test. That's what we want to do. So I'm going to talk about a doctor in Texas, a Dr. Richard Bartlett, and he has wondered why our viral deaths now with the coronavirus are so great. And how could it happen that in Taiwan, with a population of 24 million people, how come only 12 have died? Or in Japan, with a population of 121 million, how come 1,000 have died only? There's examples that he uses about how there are several communities, countries, that have controlled the coronavirus so that it does not kill people. And I'll just say again, every information has to be verified. This does too. But I do recognize the value of anyone who has studied the issues. And Dr. Richard Bartlett is in a position to know. He was on a Texas State Board, and he's looked into this for his own practice, medical practice. So the answer to how the other countries have reduced their death rate is because they found an inhaled steroid by the name of eudesonine. Eudesonine has been used to stop asthma attacks. It's an inhaler. And the COVID-19 needs a respiratory anti-inflammatory to stop it in its tracks. So this is one man's study. It is worth looking into, because if we can stop the virus from killing people, wouldn't that be great? Like I said, verify the information, but by all means, look at all the information to see what is true and untrue. We pray for the truthful answers to be discovered in our scientific and medical community. See, people have opinions, and they often don't want to change them. And one of them is about vaccines, and we hear how vaccines are safe and effective. Well, there's another side to this, and there was a recent book, Polio, An American Story. It talks about how the polio vaccine killed thousands of people in the United States, and it caused paralysis in tens of thousands. So, what do you believe? I'm really not quite sure, but I know that we want to look and encourage our scientific people to look, because there's quite a variety of views. People who are intelligent, who have studied the matters, and they have a different opinion. Oh, there's an osteopath doctor named Carrie L. Magdig, M-A-G-D-E-G, and she's been a internal medicine doctor for 20 years in the state of Georgia. And she has a YouTube video explaining about the new viruses, the new vaccines, and how the COVID-19 virus is vaccine is something they're developing, and its effect will be to change your DNA. And I don't know, changing your DNA does not sound like a wonderful thing to do. I mean, that gets passed on to your children and your grandchildren and every generation after if you have your DNA changed. Vaccines have questions enough without this one. It's another question. See, the old vaccines from the 1960s were developed using aborted fetal cells. And those cells have been kept alive since the 1960s. They live on and on and are put into our vaccines. Other cells from other animals are put into our vaccines also. Bovine is for sure. Bovine is cow. So you can look up that Dr. Carrie L. M-A-D-E-J on YouTube. There's people who have answers, and I don't know that we want to put all these things into our body. You sure better look, because we don't want our bodies to be changed all the way down to our DNA. I think about that Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, how Noah was perfect in his generations. And that has been explained to me, that Noah's genealogy was perfect. It did not have the problems of everybody else who lived in that day. His genes were perfect as God made them. Anyway, I've heard that explained multiple times about Genesis 6:9. About Noah being perfect in his generations. So we have to wonder, what does it mean that we have vaccines that are changing our DNA? I don't know. It sure sounds like a big thing to me, a big issue. So especially when you put cells from aborted babies and cows or other animals, pigs and poultry, cells, I don't know, that just does not sound like a good thing to put into our young children, something that will alter their DNA. Nope. Have a look at that and see if you really can agree that that is something that you will allow to happen to your children, your grandchildren. And And what about your flu shots? Now, there's so many people who want their flu shots so that they don't catch the flu. Well, the flu shot has a small amount of mercury in it, but mercury was completely removed from the public some decades back because it was so very dangerous. And what if you got a cut and got mercury in your cut? Well, I just don't think that we should have a vaccine that is 49%. Well, no, let's see. It's a very small fraction of how much mercury it has in it, but it does have a very small amount of thimerosal in it, which is 49% mercury. And I just, it's said to be keeping it uncontaminated. But anyway, I just have those questions. I have for a long time. I don't understand how there could be mercury put into that injection. Anyway, look up the information yourself. Now, you cannot go to libraries anymore where they have this good information, but you can look it up on your computer, just like I have. And there are going to be long scientific words, and you want to look up each one of them, because no doubt you will not be able to understand what those words mean. Who can? Not hardly anybody can understand what those big, long words mean. So look them up and find out what they mean. And see if you really want that in your child's body, your body, your grandchild's body. It's something, please look into. Look up every scientific word. About face masks, I just want to say that there was those tests between 2010 and 2020 that were double-blind, and it tested health professionals wearing the N95 mask. Basically, every test showed that there was not a difference between wearing a mask and not. So why today are we required to wear a mask in public? It's even said that they can increase your risk of infections. It can increase your the reduction of blood in your oxygen. So there are risks with masks that we are just not grasping. Please have a look at that. If it concerns you, by all means, look. Look and try to understand the scientific tests that show face masks are not what they are said to be. It reminds me of Hosea 4:6, that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So look and see. Now, the Bible certainly has comfort in it too. I think of Isaiah 40:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. To that, thank you, Lord God, Yahweh. And Yahweh is an original name for our God. So let's try to do the right thing and not make mistakes as we go through life. And now, if there is a part of this or any other broadcast that you would like to hear again, please go to www.christtoday.org. It's all lowercase and no spaces. And if you want, you can get a free preparedness pamphlet from me. Just send a stamped, self-addressed envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927, and I'll get that to you. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you.